Well, welcome to church this morning. Welcome to New Life Church. We want to say hi to those of you who are watching from online. Welcome in this morning. So glad you're watching and participating with us today. The middle of November, can you believe that? It is crazy that it's already November 17th. Well, it's good to see all of you wonderful people, all of your beautiful faces. Thankful for each one of you. And today, we have one of our outside elders who are with us today, Pastors Fred and Valerie Bennett from Memphis, Tennessee. There's a few things I just want to say about them that have impacted lives and mine and Haley's as well. Significance is a word that comes to mind when I think about them. And they have impacted so many lives, countless lives over the years, having inspired so many people to go on and live and serve the Lord with their lives and fulfill the mission and purpose God has for them in His kingdom. This is seen not only out in the public when you see and hear them speak, but it's seen in their children and their grandchildren. It's seen in their family, how they all are serving the Lord with their lives. Been fortunate to have been raised under their leadership, their pastorate, for many years, and I wouldn't be here today without them. And I dare say there's somebody in each one of our lives that has made a significant impact that we would not be here if it were not for them. God works through people, and God works through generations, and He certainly has worked through them. 33 years, they've been my pastors for 33 years. It's a long time. Haley and I are truly grateful for them, and it's an honor to have them serve as one of our outside elders for our church. And so we try to have them here at least once a year. It's been almost 2 years since they've been here. It was spring of 23 when they were here last. But Psalm 78:72 is a great scripture that I think sums up a lot about the way I know them and the way they have impacted so many people. And it says this: so they shepherded their people, God's people, according to the integrity of their heart, and have guided them with the skillfulness of their hands. And it's an honor and a privilege to have them with us today. And so would you help give a very warm welcome to our pastors, Pastors Fred and Valerie Bennett.
Yes, I guess you get to start us off.
Love you. I don't know where he went, but anyway, I'm up here, and I've always said they're like our other kids. I mean, you know, they were raised in our kids' ministry, and Haley taught in our school, and we're just totally connected. We love them. We love coming here. We love being here, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here, and I've been through a lot of sickness, but I'm here today. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. I'm believing for total healing, and I know that you all are praying. I know that my other kids are praying. So anyway, there's my husband. Here he is. Anyway, be blessed. You'll have a good word. Thank you.
I took a little tour of the building. Amazing, all the classrooms. We have a church in our fellowship down in Montgomery, Alabama. And they've been in a tiny building. The entire building is not as big as this room. And they've been running a learning center with, what, a couple hundred kids in it. And everything that's been going on. They desperately needed a new building. And during our conference back in September, they found their building. So praise God. And that building had been used as a school, much like this has. And just countless classrooms, one of these incredible kitchens, everything fully furnished, even fenced in playgrounds and everything for the children. So they're going to double the size of their school, and by faith, they're believing to double the size of their church. And you know, when we get to talking about churches growing and increasing in size and so forth, God bless you, my brother. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Glad we're still together on the earth. But, you know, it's just amazing what God's doing right now. And church growth can be about more than just numbers. It can be about putting down deeper roots. It can be about springing up and bearing more and more fruit, all to the glory of God. So I want to speak to you this morning about our generations. Maybe it's just because my age. Yesterday was my birthday. I turned 77. Whew. Wow. Time flies when you're having a good time, and so just amazing to me to even think about that and what all that means for not only for me but for my family as well. And my word this morning is for all the generations, the living generations on the earth today, because I believe that this is where God is working. I believe He's always been working in our generations. But He's especially working in our generations, in all of our families. We're the eldest in our family, but then we have our children, then we have our grandchildren, and we're wonderfully, wonderfully blessed. And in that blessing is God's call upon our lives. So let's look at Psalm 71, verse 18. The Lord gave me this. Val and I were ministering, what was it, Val? 7 years ago. 7 years ago, we were in a Bible college in Thailand. And right next to our room where we stayed, the neighbor had a rooster. Now, I'm a city boy. I didn't grow up around farm animals or anything. I thought all roosters crowed at dawn. I learned something. It dawned on me. Roosters crow whenever they please. They're the cock of the walk. They're going to crow. And this one crowed at 2 o'clock every morning. I don't know what time zone he was in or what was going on. But finally one morning, I just gave up. He obviously was not going to stop. And I think the Lord used it to kind of rouse me out of the sack. And I got up and I opened my Bible. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I was too tired to look anything up, so I just opened it up to see what it would open up to. And my eyes fell on this verse, Psalm 71, verse 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, I qualify for that, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. Now, in this particular verse, the word declare actually means to impart, to share God's power and might with future generations, some young generations, but even generations that are not yet born, because what God has given us, how many grandparents do we have in here? What God has given us, grandparents, we're to impart to our children, to our children's children, and if you're so blessed to be able to see your great-grandchildren on the earth, we're to impart the power, the blessing, the anointing that God has placed upon our lives from generation to generation, all to the glory of God. You know, when we lift up our eyes and look at the fields, look for the fields that are ripe unto harvest, we must not forget our own living generations on the earth. On the earth, one of the highlights for me of this word, bearing fruit, was the last Sunday of October at Rejoice Church with George and Kathy Black there in Olive Branch, Mississippi. They'd asked me to preach, and I was glad to do that. I do quite a bit of that. And so I've preached in that church. One of the elders said, he said, I know I've heard you preach here 50 times, and I hate to think of anybody that had to sit under all that. But anyway, I thought it's possible, because I have been preaching there for, I know, over 30 years, and usually it's once or twice a year. And it is just such a blessing. But the day before I was to go and preach, I find out they didn't have a worship leader. And so they wanted to know if I knew anybody, and I said, yeah, I know somebody. I've got a grandson. He's anointed to lead praise and worship. So I'll bring him with me. And they were cool with that. There was no praise team, not like this wonderful praise team you've got. It was just my grandson. And so we got there, and I said, just lead it like you do with the youth ministry at Renewal Church. And like you do, because Bellevue Baptist has him come out and lead worship for their youth. And that's the biggest church going in Memphis. I guess it still is. And so he led them in worship. I've never seen that congregation worship like that in all the years I've been going there. There was something about the anointing on an 18-year-old's life. You know, we think anointing something that's got to be on somebody that's 77 years old, but that's not the case. It's the blessing of God. And he was leading them in worship. Some of them broke out into the dance. I thought, look at this. I mean, it was amazing. I've never seen them that fervent in worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And when he wrapped that up, I got up and preached the word. And then he and I began to minister to the congregation. Now I'm with my 18-year-old grandson. And the thought went through my mind, does it get any better than this? I mean, this is what you dream, isn't it, grandparents? This is what you dream of, that, you know, you would see your children and your children's children all serving the Lord and being used mightily of God. I want you to know that's not a pipe dream. That's not something unreachable. In the power of the Holy Spirit, in the anointing of God, by your faith working through love for your generations, it will come to pass. You need to believe. How many of you believe that? My children and my children's children shall love and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But we have to believe that. We have to believe that. We have to stand on that. We have to give ourselves over to it. I'd do anything for my grandchildren. Anything at all. I'd lay down my life for my grandchildren. That's how much I love them, because that's what the kind of perfect love that God has put in all of us for our generations. It was truly a mountaintop experience. The only thing I was a little worried about was I was afraid I was getting prideful even talking about it. You know, several of my grandchildren who range in age from 12 to 18, so the younger ones, regularly text me. Now, for some reason, they do their texting at, again, they're like the rooster in Thailand. They like to text at 2 a.m. in the morning. Not my favorite time to get a text, but nevertheless, I'm happy to hear from them. And oftentimes they're, you know, saying they found, came across this verse in the scriptures, and they're excited about it. They want me to know about it, and we, you know, we just begin to share back and forth. What a blessing that is! Listen, friends, I'm not talking about what should be abnormal or unusual. I'm talking about something that ought to be the standard. This is what we all should be looking to. This is what the Lord wants to do in our generations. He works through families. He works through our generations that He may be glorified. I read recently where 50% of Generation Z, that's 12 to 27 years old right now. My grandchildren's generation, many of them, I got a couple that are older than that, want to know more about the authentic Jesus and the kingdom of God. I don't know where they get all these statistics, but it also went on to say that half the teenagers around the world, when asked about Jesus, they were asked, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the name Jesus? And they responded, loving, trustworthy, and wise. Wow. That's in the world. All kinds of nations, all kinds of religious experiences. But there's a favorable view in their hearts about Jesus. But you know what they need? To make that real for them, they need spiritual fathers and mothers. And I'm not just talking about moms and dads. It's a challenge when you're a mom and a dad, because you got all these other things you got to keep up with. You got that discipline factor that's thrown in there. And that's always a challenge. But grandparents, the good news is that when our grandchildren need disciplining, by faith, we can just take them by the hand, lead them back to their mom and dad and say, here, this is your part. We're going to do the other part, praise God. We're going to see our grandchildren anointed by the Holy Spirit. I recently attended a thing called The Gathering in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Pastor Rob Thomas, like Jeremy and Haley, a spiritual son and daughter, he and his wife Shauna, they had invited me to come down to this coffee shop. It's down just south of 302 on Getwell, there in Olive Branch. And what I saw there was 70 or more people. I believe the range was 12 to 28. Gathered together in a coffee shop. Now, it was a pretty big coffee shop. Big coffee shop. They're worshiping the Lord. They're sharing their testimonies with each other. And they're engaging in interactive teaching of the Word. I thought, look at this. These kids on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock at night are out here fellowshipping together in the Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage everyone here. Something's happening with young people. God is stirring them up afresh. There's something about this generation, that this living generation that's in the earth right now. I believe the hand of the Lord is upon them in an awesome and in a very, very powerful way. Pastor Rob Thomas and I sat just away from the front door, and there was just a steady stream of them coming up and talking with us because they were gravitating to spiritual fathers. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Where our Renewal Church youth group, we have 50 to 60 young people, ages 12 to 18, who gather at our daughter's house every Wednesday night. This is there, and you might think, I don't want 50 young people in my house all at one time. But you know, if your house, my daughter's house, has the grace for it, then it's a God thing. And they come there, and they come there because they want to be in the atmosphere of a spiritual family. I know that we've got an atmosphere of being a spiritual family when we gather like this in a sanctuary, as a congregation. But you know, there's something even more intimate than that. There is a new move. You know, the book of Acts, if you read the book of Acts, and that's a great thing to do right now, to see what God was doing then and what he's doing now, because it's very similar. In the book of Acts, that's basically where the church met. Even the new churches that were organizing, they were meeting in people's homes, and God was showing up, making his presence felt. Isn't that why we come to church? We want to be in the presence of the Lord, but we should also want that in our own home, praise God. Amen? I remember years ago, we had a little plate on our front door that said, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." I'm sure many of you might have had that or remember that. But I think what I would put on our door now is, this is a house of the presence of the Lord. In fact, we were driving through Alabama, and I saw a church with that name, Presence of the Lord Church, down deep. Even if we don't know how to verbalize it, that's what we want, isn't it? We didn't just come to be bored. We didn't just come to sing a little bit. We came because we truly believe God is a living presence, and we want to be in that presence. That's why praise and worship is so vital. That's why prayer is so vital. It's in these exercises of righteousness through faith that we experience the presence of God, that he touches our hearts, that he arrests our attention, that he speaks a word to us, that he shows us a vision, that he gives us a word of encouragement for someone else. a word of encouragement or exhortation or comfort, whatever it may be. But I'm here to tell you this morning that as much as we value that here in a church gathering, we can have that anywhere. This isn't your typical church building. It's something that's being, well, renovated, I guess you could say. How about this? It's been repurposed. It's been repurposed. It's kind of like Jesus coming into our lives. We once lived one way, and now we live another. By faith and His gracious work and mercy, we've been repurposed. We've got a new call on our lives now. We're not living the way that we used to live. We're living in a new and a living way, and it's all to the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, on Sunday morning, our youth group leads worship. Not up on the platform, but they all gather together down here at the platform. And this is where they worship, as a group, in front of the congregation. I'll tell you, that stirs everybody up. I see people new that are visiting, and they can't believe their eyes. They're like, wow. You know, I remember when I was a youth. It's a little hard to remember now, but I do vaguely remember it. That was not where you were going to find our youth group. Our youth group was going to be back on the back row somewhere, sticking gum under the pew or whatever it was we were doing, cutting up back there. But that we just didn't have that anointing, maybe because we didn't have that revelation, or maybe because we were lacking some spiritual fathers and mothers that were really willing, just like you, to give yourself away, to open up your heart. But you know, when you're ministering to young people, you open up everything. You open up all the doors. You give everything that you have got to them. This is what God is calling us to in this hour, is to give ourselves away. Whatever God has given me, my intention is that before I draw my last breath on this planet Earth in this life, that I'm going to give away everything the Lord my God has bestowed upon me. Now, I'm what they call a baby boomer. Let's just call me a boomer. But I'll talk to anyone from any generation at any time. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I get that nudge of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to engage somebody in a conversation that's going to end up talking about the gospel. Sometimes it's just sharing my testimony or that part of it that's relevant to who they are and what they're going through. But what I want you to hear today is this Gen Z, God is moving among this generation. They need and want spiritual mothers and fathers. In the last book of the Old Testament, the way we have it set up, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, is a prophetic call to turn back to God. Malachi sets the stage for the good news that was going to be shared in the Gospels. It was about the great day of the Lord being ushered in by Jesus. In Malachi 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Isn't that an interesting way to start a prophecy? I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. You see, without this generational connection in the love of God, faith working through that love, we're not going to experience this. We're going to miss out on something. This is what God is calling us to. Luke chapter 1, verse 17 says, he will also go before him. That is Jesus. Remember, John the Baptist, he was the forerunner. He was the one that went before. He was calling people to repentance all over Israel. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. In other words, that anointing of the Holy Spirit on Elijah was going to be on John the Baptist to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Here it is again. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Most of us do remember that Elijah shows up again in the New Testament, doesn't he? He shows up there on the Mount of Transfiguration along with Moses. And they're there as a prophetic sign to Jesus' disciples who witnessed it. And also reminding us today that Jesus came to fulfill all the law and all the prophets. But how? That sounds right. That sounds good. But how does he do that? How does he fulfill all the law and the prophets? Well, he does it through reconciliation, which just so happens to be our primary ministry. We all have a ministry of reconciliation. We are anointed and called of God to reconcile people to the Father and to one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. And God, who gives all things, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Of reconciliation. But God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing our trespasses against us, and has also given to us the word of reconciliation. So this is not just a theory or a concept or just a personal belief thing that, you know, I've got this ministry of reconciliation, however that works. We're to have a word of reconciliation in our mouth. It goes on to say there, therefore, as ambassadors, say ambassadors. Say, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's your ministry. If you've been wondering, oh, I wish somebody would speak a prophetic word over me and tell me about my ministry. I hear what you're saying in that. But what we need to understand is we got it right here in the word of God, that we have a ministry, that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. This should be at the top of our minds. This should be in the forefront of our thoughts. We should be thinking about that when we lie down at night to rest, when we rise up in the morning. This should be the first thing. We should be setting our minds on the things above, on the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things that we're all fretting over and caring about and anxious about, all those things will be taken care of. We don't have to worry and be anxious about these things. We just need to be focused, praise God. Therefore, as ambassadors for Christ, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God in him. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, friends, this is the good news. This is telling us this is who we are. Isn't it astounding that this far down the road we live in a generation with so much identity confusion? This is the church's response to that. We need to not only tell them this, we need to show them this. They need to see us as spiritual moms and dads, reconciling people to God the Father and also to one another. That's all part of it. This is what God is calling us to do. And I believe this especially is what he's calling New Life Church to begin to turn to. And folks, I know you receive great preaching and great teaching. But you know, sometimes we get so scattered in our thinking, we don't know what to do first. We don't know what has the ultimate priority. I submit, your pastors agree, that this is what we ought to be thinking about first. We're here to reconcile people to God. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But if this generation is to be reconciled to the Lord, we who are present need to know how to carry ourselves as Christ ambassadors. In other words, I shouldn't have to show them a card. I shouldn't have to have ambassador on my jacket. None of that. They should be able to see something. They should be able to see Christ in us, the ultimate ambassador for the kingdom of God. Because if we can see Christ in others, then we too can find our way by being relationally and gospel fluent. Relationally and gospel fluent. So what do I mean there? Okay, real quickly, flash to John 4. Jesus is at Jacob's well. There's a woman there. She's come to fill her water pots. What's the first thing that Jesus says to her? Give me a drink. He didn't give her a gospel tract. He didn't ask her a trick question. He didn't do any of that. He just said something perfectly natural. You know, relating to people is just be natural. You don't have to be weird, okay, or act up or mad or even overzealous for that matter. Just be natural. Strike up a conversation. You know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. I try to strike up a conversation with anybody and everybody I meet, especially strangers, because they don't know who I am. This woman at the well didn't know who Jesus was. Now, he tells her. He gives revelation to her. But, yeah, well, he asked her for a drink of water. And she's curious about, why are you a Jew asking me, a Samaritan, a woman? Why are you even talking to me? And what does he say to her next? If you knew who I was, you would have asked me for a drink. And I would have given you living water. See how quickly it goes from just a natural request. Maybe the natural request would be something like, hey, my name's Fred. What's your name? Yeah. How you feeling? You okay? You in good health? Just act like you're interested. You know, notice I didn't ask. First thing, so if you die tonight, are you going to heaven? I mean, come on, let's be real. That's a bit of a leap, isn't it? I mean, you know, that kind of sucks all the air out of the room. And, you know, you're like, oh, my God, you know, crazy person here. I don't know how to deal with this. What do you mean go to hell? What do you mean I'm going to die tonight? You know, just be natural. First comes the natural, the scripture says, and then comes the spiritual. Just be natural. Be nice. There's a premium on that in our world today, because a lot of people are majoring on being ugly and being, angry. And it's like everybody wants you to be as angry as they are. And we're, that's not who we are. Who are we? We're the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the sons of God. Amen? That's what reconciliation is leading people in faith to make peace with God, to receive the Prince of Peace that he has offered to them, bless the Lord. So we're to be relationally fluent. Practice it, just engaging people in conversation. And then Holy Spirit, as you're talking to them, Holy Spirit will give you what to say. I mean, how many of you have ever experienced you're talking to somebody about something completely different, and all of a sudden you feel this compulsion to say something spiritual? And you're like, how does that fit in? You don't need to worry about that. If it was the Holy Spirit who told you to say something, open your mouth in faith and he will fill it. See, this is how we move from being relationally fluent to being spiritually fluent. We know how to obey the Holy Spirit. Another way I like to think about it is sometimes Holy Spirit will just kind of give me a little nudge. Anybody ever felt that before? A little nudge. I was at the gym and been working out, and I stood up and I see this guy, it's a big gym, walking through the front doors, and kind of he's taller than I was, real athletic looking guy. But as he kind of turned the corner and came down the aisle where I was standing, I noticed he had a crutch in his hand, or a cane. And I looked at that and I thought, huh, you know, there are a lot of athletic people that come here for physical therapy, and maybe he blew a knee or something, you know, or whatever, got a sports-related injury, and that's what it is. And then I get this nudge, and I thought, apparently that's not what it is. So, but I walked up to him anyway, and I just said, hey, man, I don't know. I didn't know him. I'd never seen him at the gym before. Complete stranger. Complete stranger. But if you walk up to complete strangers like you care, like you've noticed something about them, and just open your mouth, it's amazing. You'll have an immediate conversation. And I said, man, hey, did you hurt your knee? What happened to you? He said, no. He said, I had a heart attack. He said, I had a massive heart attack. He said, it's that one that's supposed to kill you. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 50. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I was in such bad shape, the doctors called in my family and told them I wasn't going to make it. And then he said, but by the grace of God, here I am. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. He said the spiritual thing, and it came out of his mouth. I didn't even have to say it. Sometimes if we just act like we care, genuinely care about people and what they're going through and what they're suffering with and all the rest of it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. Why? So that we may comfort others with the same comfort with which he has comforted us. You do understand that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no darkness at all, no shadow of turning. What is he giving us? Gifts. Gifts of healing. All kinds of gifts. What is the definition of a gift? Got Christmas coming up. What do? We give gifts. Any gift he's given you, you can give someone else. If he's comforted you, you can comfort someone else with that same comfort. If he's exhorted you, inspired you, you can comfort and inspire someone else. So I looked at this man, and we're standing out in the middle of the aisle, in the middle of the gym. All these people are working out around us. I said, wow. I said, can I pray for you? He said, sure. So I laid my hand on his shoulder, and I just started praying there in the middle of the gym. And when I finished, I opened my eyes and I looked, which sometimes we should keep our eyes open when we're praying. But anyway, see what God's doing. And he's staring at me. His eyes are as big as saucers. And all that he really knows to ask is, what church do you go to? And I said, well, that doesn't really matter. He said, oh, it does. He says, you know, my family and I have been to several churches, but no one from those churches ever visited me. No one from those churches ever called to check up on me. It's like they just didn't care, or it was too much trouble. He said, in fact, today as I was driving over to this gym, I was talking to God in my car. And I was just asking the Lord, doesn't anybody care whether I live or die? And I walked in the door, and here you are, a perfect stranger who's come up to me and prayed for me. And he started praising the Lord right there in the middle of the gym. He was awesome. See, we can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a word that we need to strike from our vocabulary. The word, anybody want to guess what it is? That one too. The word appropriate. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not. But in the kingdom of God, you can't worry about appropriate. Appropriate is not going to wash. That, it's not going to heal. It's not going to save. Oh, I want to wait till a more appropriate time. You just walked away from your opportunity right there. We need to strike that out of our vocabulary, especially when we're thinking about being used of the Lord. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent, come on somebody, take it by what? Force. Well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound appropriate. Well, of course it isn't. But it does get a breakthrough. Remember the four men that had a friend that was a paralytic, heard Jesus had come to town, and they wanted to get him in Jesus' presence. So they load him up on a pallet, and they take him over to the house where Jesus is ministering. The place is packed. The crowd spilled out into the streets. There's no way to get in. So they just took him back to the house where he was from and said, sorry, too bad. Now, that's not how it goes, is it? What's the story? They climbed up on the roof of the house, and they tore somebody's roof off and lowered the man down on a pallet into the presence of Jesus. And the word says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, says to the man, your sins are forgiven. And by the way, take up your pallet and walk. Now, I don't read anywhere in there that he'd asked the homeowner's permission to tear the roof off. I don't think they had a permit to do this. I don't think they were in the construction business, so they even necessarily knew how to repair it after they'd done it. But they were so determined. Faith is determined, folks. Love is determined. That we need stronger backbones. We need more of this strength and power of the Lord. We need this force of faith. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That doesn't mean we start shooting people so they won't go to hell or go to heaven or whatever. That's not talking about that kind of violence. It's talking about a kind of spiritual violence. We will not be turned away. You see it all through the various encounters Jesus has with people. What about blind Bartimaeus? The guy that wouldn't shut up. Everybody kept telling him, put a sock in it. Shut up, you know, don't disturb us and all the rest of us. And he just shouted all the louder until finally Jesus turned. See, why does Jesus do that though? Because what is he looking for? As long as the earth remains, as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest, but there's also Jesus looking for faith. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He's looking for faith in us. We need to show him some faith. We need to show him some faith in our boldness. We need to show him some faith in our perseverance, in our determination, that we're not taking no for an answer, that we're not just going to walk away and leave people in the situation that we found them in. We need to be gospel fluent, praise God. We need to be obedient to every little nudge of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the spirit of Jezebel, here's somebody else that shows up in the New Testament. The spirit of Jezebel in the world is working to separate and divide the generations. People with a Jezebel spirit, you may have noticed them, they say and do some crazy stuff. And if we have eyes to see this spirit, it is on full and brazen display just about everywhere that you look. But fear not, Holy Spirit is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. You know, the other day I heard a supposed expert, all these unnamed experts, supposed experts saying that if your family didn't vote the way you voted, you should cancel all holiday celebrations. Don't go there. And if they persist in talking about it, then you should just cut yourself off from them. Guess which spirit that is? It ain't Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is affecting what? Reconciliation, not division and separation. Holy Spirit's not operating that way. We have to understand what spirit is in operation. We need to make sure that we're aligned with what Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is doing in the earth today. This kind of attitude about cutting people off or canceling holiday, holidays with your family, this is definitely the epitome of a Jezebel spirit. In many ways, we are a divided country. Hallelujah! What a great mission field we've been given. Everybody's mad and angry and separated and divided. They need to hear the good news. They need to hear that Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. They need to hear that we can be restored. I wake up every morning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and I forget not all your benefits, because you forgave all my iniquities. You heal all my diseases, praise God. You redeemed my life. You were mentioning redemption earlier. Redeemed my life from the pit of destruction. You've crowned me, say I'm crowned, with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfy my mouth with good things, so that my youth... We need to know what we're praying. Pray the word. He watches over his word to perform it. Yeah. Yeah. He satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't always feel young, but I still often do. And especially when I get to stand before a group of people like you who love the Lord, who come to worship Him, and you want to hear a word. I'd rather do this than eat. It's the call, isn't it? I mean, this is my whole life. I have no claim to have done anything else. This is it. This is what He called me to do. This is what He sent me to do. Even when everybody that should have approved me doing it were saying, no, 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 we don't want him. I was in the gym. Another little incident real quick. I ride this stationary bike. Now I'm riding along, and some guy about three bikes down, he leans forward, looks around the other people, and he says, hey, to get my attention. He said, are you a Republican? And I'm kind of, now, I'm not making a statement. I'm just using that as the party that he said, okay? Nothing political about this. But, in fact, I'm trying to be not political about some things. I want to be not political when it interferes with my sharing the gospel with someone. Because I'm not an ambassador for the Republicans or the Democrats or the Greens or whatever other crazy parties out there. I'm knowledgeable. I read. I vote. We pray about who we're going to vote so we don't cancel each other's vote out. We want to have an impact, praise God. But there are some things that should be more important than everything else. So I just said to the man, I said, I don't identify that way. And, you know, I probably wouldn't to a stranger anyway. It's none of your business, frankly. But I don't identify that way. But I am a Christian minister if you need some prayer. Apparently he didn't. But, you know, these are the kinds of things that come up. Yeah, you can have people in your family that disagree with you politically, but that doesn't mean you can't celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas together. Just put that at the fore. Put at the forefront the one you're celebrating, the one who's in charge of it all, the one on whose shoulders the government rests, praise God, ultimately, to the glory of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to come in for a landing here. So Val and I go through this every year with her Canadian family. They always want to argue politics. The funny thing is, they don't want to argue Canadian politics. They want to argue our politics. And I just look at them like, what? You don't have enough problems on your own, on your side of the border? You know, you want to import some more? Why would you want to do that? I mean, that just blows my mind. Thank you, Jesus. Last night I shared about the mixture that we had, senior adults and young adults, and it was an awesome time. And I just want to share with you that it's important that the generations be together. Be together. Don't confine yourself to just one generation. You're really limiting your life. Your life can be so much richer than that. So much richer than that. You know, the scripture says, we were in Montgomery, Alabama. We had a conference there. And the word of the Lord, we made it like a family affair. We're in a great big family room in a house. We're sitting in a big circle, 40, 50 of us. We're sharing our hearts. We're just talking about how as the body of Christ, we're the family of God. We need to cultivate more of that family anointing in the body of Christ. And you know one way that you can do that? Is as you're led by the Spirit. How many of you know that we're to love the Lord our God first, right? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the next thing it says? Love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you are loving your neighbors really, really good right now? You know, one way you can love your neighbors is you could open up your house to some of your friends here in the church and begin to meet there together. Maybe one night or a week or every other week or once a month or whatever. The vision I have for this church that I've come to impart to you is expand, enlarge the place of your tent. Don't panic. I'm not taking up a building offering. I know this scripture is often used for that. I'm using it for something else. Enlarge the place of your tent. I'm talking about your influence. What's it going to say? Stretch out your curtains. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. That's the kind of expansion. We need to expand our love for our neighbors. We need to expand our love for our children and our children's children. We need to expand our love for people that are sitting in darkness and need to see the great light. The light that will draw them out of the darkness into His marvelous light. I see homes being opened. You know, how many of you notice neighbors are nosy? Anybody notice that? Neighbors are nosy. I've seen neighbors walk by our house 3 or 4 times if I've done something different outside because they're just nosy about, what has he been doing? And I know they're not, well, they don't live anywhere near me. They live blocks away, but here they are out there. They're nosy. Play on that. Give them something to be nosy about. Like, what are all those cars over there on Wednesday night or Thursday night or whatever. Who are those people that keep coming over there week after week or month after month? Who are those people? When they get nosy, invite them. Ask them to come. Well, they're not a part of our church. We're ambassadors for Christ. We don't just talk to people that are a part of our church. We don't just talk to the saved bunch. We're supposed to be talking to them all, because there are vast numbers of them that don't know the truth that will set them free. They need to be born again, praise God. This is an opportunity for you to bring new life to them where they are in their own neighborhood, because it's a neighborhood that you have in common with them. And God will use you. I mean, read the book of Acts. It's all house to house stuff. It's what it was all about. This is how something that started so small exploded into something that covered the earth. God wants to bring revival to Jackson, Tennessee. He wants you to have generations coming into your house, just like we had last night. All these young adult people and all these senior people all gathered together, talking with each other, breaking bread together. It was an awesome time. People are hungry for some fellowship. People need friends. Many people, even in Jackson, Tennessee, aren't from Jackson, Tennessee. They left their family somewhere else to come here. We can be their family for them, praise God. You know what you're most, they're just looking for an open door. An open door, a friendly face, someone that would invite them. You don't even have to tell them the details of what's going to happen. Surprise them. Everybody loves a surprise party. But open the door of your heart. Open the door of your house. Where we met last night, Val and I live in a condo. And our condo community has a community room. Anybody live in a condo community? Something like that, or apartment complex, something like that, where there's a community room. You can reserve those things. This is a great thing about this strategy. You don't have to build a building. That's not what it's about. It's expanding the good things that God has given you here at New Life Church all over the greater Jackson area. I dare say a good percentage of the people in Jackson, Tennessee, never even drive past, much less through Denmark. I don't think anything like Denmark. Anyway, they don't even know where it is. You can show them where Jesus is. Peter and John were ministering. They're trying to stop them from ministering. But the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And they were no way they were going to stop doing it. And so they resisted what the Jezebel spirit was trying to put on them. And then it says about the religious people that were attacking them. They saw. What did they see? That Peter and John were untrained and uneducated men. And they realized something. What did they realize? This is the word I leave you with. I want you to get this in your heart. What did they see? They saw that they had been with Jesus. Saw that these two witnesses had been with Jesus. How many of you can see Jesus in your pastors? How many of you have seen Jesus in your pastors? Amen? Well, do what they do. That's what the disciples were doing. What did the disciples know to do? They just went out and did what they saw Jesus doing when they were walking with him. You're walking with Pastor Jeremy and Haley. Christ in them is your pattern. This is your lead here. That's the anointing of God. That's the hope of glory, praise God. Just follow their lead. What you see them do, do that. This isn't rocket science. You don't have to make up your own deal. Just do that. When you see them stepping out in faith in something, even if it just seems crazy at first, just trust Jesus in them. That's really what it comes down to. They saw that they had been with Jesus. Most of the people in this area have never been in one of your services. Take new life to them because they desperately need new life. Who needs to come to Jesus this morning? Who needs to make a decision to follow Jesus? Just show me where you are. I'll pray for you. I'll come to you. You don't even have to come to me. Show me where you are. Or if you've come to Jesus and you just feel stagnant, or maybe you stumbled, something terrible came into your life and you've just gotten away from Jesus, I'll pray for you right now. I want you to go out of here seeing Jesus. Let's all stand. Father, I speak your blessing over this house. I declare and decree that this is a house of the presence of the Lord, that your anointing is upon them for even greater works than they have seen to date. I declare and decree further that this is a house of ambassadors who are going to go out from this place. I'm not talking about going out permanently, but go out from this place all over this greater Jackson area and wherever the Lord your God would lead you as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, sharing the good news that Christ Jesus has come to set us free. And whom the Son sets free is free. Gloriously free. Free to do some wild and crazy things that you never thought you could do. That's the wonderful thing about it. His power is perfected in our weaknesses. If you're timid and shy, he'll make you bold. If you're uneducated and untrained, just follow his lead. See Jesus in your pastors. Just do what you see him doing in them, praise God. Get in that kind of agreement. Let's walk together, praise the Lord. Let's go to Jackson. Let's go to this city. And let's not let anyone be outside the realm of God's influence, outside of his kingdom, that they will all hear and see Christ in you, the very hope of glory. I bless this house. I bless this church. I bless this family of God. I bless you in your coming out and your going in. I bless you in all of your ways. I bless you in the morning. I bless you all the way through the evening and through the night hours. I bless you in your family. I bless you in your marriage. I bless you in your generations. I bless you here as you serve. I bless you as you go out, that you go out in that anointing of an ambassador. You are the blessed of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I just speak it over you. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, every spiritual gift, every spiritual anointing so that you may give yourself away into others to the glory of Jesus' mighty name. Amen.